All right. Can everybody hear me now? All right. Again, my name is Barbara Sanders. I want to thank you all for having me and allowing me to come out and talk to you today. When I spoke with Ms. Wilhelmina, I asked her some questions so I could try and bring to you what she felt was needed today. And I thank you for that, Ms. Wilhelmina. So what I'd like to do is talk to you today about relationships. I promise, you promise, and after. And so what I'd like to do is before we begin, I would like for us to just give some thanks to God for everybody who's here today. And if this is too loud, let me know and I'll turn it down. It may be, because when I practiced it at home, it was too loud. And while this song is playing, you're being handed a white disc and either an owl, a ninja turtle, or a superhero. What I want you to do is quickly think about one thing that you want to change, either within yourself or in a relationship somewhere. Write it on the white disc and cover it with the sticker you were given. Okay, so my music is trying to be a little contrary today, and that's okay. We're going to go ahead. And what that song was saying was, I say a prayer every night. Whatever I do, I try to get it right with no regrets or guilt or pain this time, not this time. Once I surrender, I don't dare look back, because if I do, I'll get off track. With you chose me in faith, and now I want you to lead me. And it's by Yolanda Adams. So in closing that song, what I would like to end this part is with, finally, Creator and Father of all, we ask that you use your spirit to convict us where we need to be changed, fortify us where we need to be strengthened, instruct us where we are ignorant, and bring hopes to hearts that are broken together. So with that thought in mind, what I'd like to do is talk to you about promises. Things that we make, say, we intend to do when we're in a relationship, especially in a marriage relationship or partnership with anyone at any time. So I promise, you promise. But what happens when life becomes a dried up sponge? Your bucket's too full. You're hopping around from thing to thing like a rabbit, just going all over the place. You don't know what to do, so you're just doing what you're doing. And finally, if your heart is broken. So I know we all go through those things, and what I'd like to do today is have a discussion with you. Because if I just stand up here and talk, we don't have an exchange. So as we go through this journey, as we go through this process, let's have an exchange. This is a guide, but I really want to talk with you about how you feel, what God says about how we should treat each other in a relationship. It's not an I and a you. It's an us and what we're going to do to get to where we want to be, but more importantly, where God wants us to be. So, are you in a dating relationship? And what that means is, I'm young, I'm old. In fact, how many of you are still dating in your relationships? Are you still dating? I see you looking at him like, hey, you know, we do go out sometimes. You know, we do some things together. So if you're in a dating relationship, sometimes you're young, you're middle-aged, you're old, and you haven't decided to settle down yet because you got things you want to do. Are you in a committed relationship? Who's first in your life? God, your job, someone else? Why? Are you just in a relationship? I'm just with you. I'm hanging out. We've been together. We own a lot of stuff. I worked hard for us to get the stuff that we own, and I'm not thinking about getting rid of it. Or have you separated yourself from that relationship? I've tried everything I know, and nothing is working, so I just give up. We're just existing. I cook breakfast, he eats breakfast, he cooks dinner, I eat dinner, and we're just in that relationship. We're not communicating. We're not doing what we need to do. So, how many different types of relationships do we have in the church? Who's married? All right. Who's not married? Who's looking to get married? Who's looking to just hang out with somebody you like a lot? All right. So when we make a commitment, whether it's marriage, partnerships, whatever, we do several things, consciously and unconscious. First, we promise to love that person. And if we love them, we're going to cherish them. And we're going to honor them. And we're going to forsake them above all others, except Christ. And we want to do that with the intention that I intend to spend the rest of my time on the face of this earth with this person unless something happens and it severs that relationship. So when we do that, I'm going to pick on you two. You're married, right? Okay. When you two were young, girl, how did it feel? When the two of you got together, how did it feel? Felt good. Kind of exciting, kind of new, right? You wanted to know everything about her. She wanted to know everything about you. And so you spent time together doing that. And you went where he wanted to go. She went some of the places you wanted to go, you know. And we change to suit that person. We change because we want them to like us. We want them to love us. We want them not to be able to live without us. When you guys got married, what changed? Nothing? Oh, that's so sweet of you. That is so sweet. That is so sweet of you. Did anything change in any of your relationships? Life got in the way. What are some of the things that life brings to a relationship? Jobs. What else? Children. What else happens? Housework. So all of those things come and they bring something into it. And if the relationship is good, it grows and it keeps growing. And it gets better. But when the relationship is not good, and that's what we're here to look at today, a different way of renewing and committing ourselves in our relationship. Life happens, as you said. You get tired. You get worn out. You don't want to do the same things anymore, and that's life. It's when it takes the other turn where you don't have a voice in the relationship, so you stop saying how you feel. Because remember, when you got together, you both told each other everything. Everything about each other. And then life came and life changed it. And those are some of the things that we want to look at. So what do the vows or the promises that you made to each other, what do they do? Did they change? Did you change along with them? Or did you try to keep some semblance of what you had? Sometimes we leave because it's not good. What do we do when life comes in and life happens and we can't take it anymore? What do we do? Do we leave? Do we stay? Where do you go? Who do you turn to? So let's look at those five elements that we talked about before. And I want to discuss those, and I want you to think of those in mind with how is what I'm going through Or how, if it's good, how can I make it better? So let's look at love. What does it mean to love someone else? Young man? Okay. You care about each other. All right, very good. What is it? How can you honor somebody if you've never been honored? If all during your life you weren't treated with respect, your thoughts were not taken into consideration. How can you honor somebody even though you love them? How can you honor them if you've never seen honor? And then how can I cherish you? How can I say I promise to love, honor, and cherish you if I don't cherish myself? If I don't keep myself in good standing within myself? If I don't feel safe where I am within me because I'm not sure of me? How can I cherish you if I don't know how to cherish myself? How can I forsake all others when I'm busy doing the washing, the cleaning, the mopping, the ironing, taking care of the children, taking them here and there, doing everything that needs to be done? How can I forsake all others when everybody else needs my time? Everybody else, my job, everything is pulling at me. How can I do that? How can I be safe within that? And finally, how can I be expected to stay with you when I don't love myself, I don't cherish myself, I don't honor myself? I have forsaken myself, my needs, my desires, my spirituality to the extent of all else. I'm a dried up, washed up, throwed out in the garbage sponge. I need some help. My bucket's full. I'm going from here to there. I'm doing everything. But I've forsaken myself and my needs. So how can I do any of that? Because I'm in pain. It may not be physical pain. It may be verbal pain. But I am in pain. So how can I give to you when my bucket is running over? How can I do that? So when we promise each other some things, we take some things for granted. We think we're going to have that perfect marriage, that perfect life together, because that's what's in our mind. And we know that because I promise to love, honor, cherish, and obey you, and I promise to forsake all others for you. So I know these things are coming. Why? Because I got this partner who loves me, and I know he's going to do that, or I know she's going to do that, because that's what we started out to do. But what if that doesn't happen? What if we hope God sent us this person? That this is who God wanted us to be with. And other things got in the way. But what if we didn't? What if we didn't wait? What if we just met this guy in high school and I fell in love and we got married? And I didn't go to God about it. I didn't talk to God about it at all. I didn't wait on an answer for him. So does that mean that I'm cursed because I didn't wait? I didn't talk to God? Does that mean all the stuff that happened in my life that I didn't agree with, that I did just to make it easier, just to make it better? Does that mean God is punishing me now because I didn't wait? Have you ever felt that way? And you ask God, God, like I go to church, I do what you ask me to do. Why? Why, God? Why do I have to feel this way? And today's talk is not about the other person directly. This is about you and where you should feel, how you should feel about yourself. Because you can help others effectively if you can't help yourself and you don't know where to go for yourself for help. So, when your life has become a bumpy road, several things we know. That other person is not loving you. They're not cherishing you. They're not honoring you. They're breaking everything, every commitment you made daily. And it's not you who broke the promise. It's not you who broke the covenant. It's the other person. Because they want to. And so you go to a lot of places for help. You may go to your pastor. You may go to your church counseling group. And the advice is given is just hang in there. Don't tear apart what God put together. God put you two together. Don't tear it apart. Just hang in there and pray. And so you spend countless, countless hours, days, weeks, months, years praying, God, I'm doing what you asked me to do. Why won't he or her change? Why will they not change? And yes, the Bible does say, therefore what God has joined together, let not man separate. But what we have to understand is that in all the teachings that Jesus gave, especially about family life and about what it is to become one, because when you get married, that's what you do. When you join a relationship, especially if you use vows, you join as one. You're one now. So we're going to talk about what has happened. Who breaks the vows? The guilty party. The party who's not working to make us a unit. The party who's not working to help us stay together as God said we should. And this is a choice. It's not alcohol. It's not drugs. It's not your job. It's not the stress. Because there are ways to handle those. There are ways to deal with those. God has sent us people to help us in those instances. We just have to choose to go to those people and say, I need some help. I'm doing something that is harming my spouse. I'm doing something that is harming the person I love. I'm doing something that is harming my children. We have to be willing to admit that ourselves. Just as when we confess our sin, that is part of the confession process. We have to do that. And we have to do that because if we don't, we are breaking the marriage covenant. And a great example is, I go to the bank, I take out a mortgage. I promise to pay my mortgage every month. The bank promises that I can stay in that house as long as I pay my mortgage. But if I don't pay my mortgage, what happens? I get kicked out. I get evicted. Who made the initial choice? Exactly. Can I blame the bank? No, I made a promise with the bank. I made a contract with the bank. So when you make a promise to each other, that is something that is dear to cherish, to honor, to love. And so one thing I want you to remember is that people will use anything to make you do what they want you to do. They will use religion, finances, anything to get you to see things their way, to make you not have a voice. So what options do we have? What can we do? Can we leave? Should we stay? Should we go? Should we try and work it out? Well, I want you to learn to work on yourself, what you should be doing for you. And this is not selfish. Just as you exercise to keep your body in shape, you eat right, you don't do anything else, this is for the inner you to come out for the good of your relationship. So, that neglected sponge that we saw earlier, if we add some water, looks good. We can clean it up. We can still use it. That bucket, look at what's going on in your life. Maybe you're doing too much of something and not enough of another. If you're going from project to project, just doing this, I think I'm going to join this club. I think I'm going to join that club. I think I'm going to go help brother this, do that. I think I'm going to go help sister this. I'm going to start tutoring children. Look at what you're doing. Is there some way to prioritize that to get it done differently so that you're meeting that promise that you made with that other person? In other words, slow down. Your heart. It's hard for your heart to tell your mind that this isn't working, because your heart says, try this. And your mind says, I did that last week and he complained about the meatloaf I made. Or, I did put my clothes in the laundry hamper, but I left something on the floor, so now she's upset. That used to be my biggest pet peeve with my husband. We've been married 36, 7 years. And when we first got married, honey, laundry hamper's right here. When you change clothes, put them in the laundry hamper. I find a soft here, something else there, pants here, shirt there. So in 36 plus years, he's gotten better. Now he puts them on top of the laundry hamper. So it's working. Those little subtle pushes that I have, it's working. And those are the things that make me literally want it to take a fork when he was asleep and stab him in the neck, like laundry hamper, clothes, laundry hamper, clothes. But then I began to realize that I do things that irritate him too. I know I do, because I'm not perfect. And so I began to see that at least he's here. He's forsaking me for all others. What is the big picture for us? What are our goals for our children, for our family, for our life together? And I began to see those things didn't matter. And some of the relationships I've known, if the toilet paper is turned over as opposed to be turned under, that's a big thing. It's those little things that people are going to do, but you have to choose which is more important in your relationship. Which is the thing that brings you joy? That sitting together, watching a movie, taking a walk, having breakfast, just having a good conversation. Are those the things that are going to get you through life? Or is it that toilet paper? And as in terms of the heart, a heart can be mended. Once you begin to know yourself and what's important to you, it will begin to radiate in and out. And like with my husband in the laundry hamper, he's putting them on there. I know he's going to lift that lid. And he's going to drop them down in there. I know that. It's coming. I have faith that that is going to happen. So where are you right now? What do you do? How can you reconcile, mend, work to make your relationship better? You have the little disc that I gave you, and I ask you to write down one thing that you want it to work on, whether it's you, your relationship, or someone else. And then I ask you to take whatever sticker you chose, whatever sticker you were given, and put it on top. Because sometimes when we know what we want to work on, we let other things get in the way. So, let's look at what those stickers mean. Who has the owl? Okay, what does an owl represent to you? Wisdom. Okay? Now, if we flip that in the reverse, what else could it mean? Could it possibly mean that you think you know too much? You think you know this other person so well that you don't need to have a conversation with them? Is your wisdom and knowledge about your other person, is it overwhelming or blinding you to something new that's going on? Who has a ninja turtle? All right. What do the ninja turtles mean? What is the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? Superhero. What is their main mode of protection? Their what? The shell. the shell. The shell. The shell protects the turtle from being harmed. So have you created your shell to protect you because you've been hurt so many times? You don't want this coming at you. Do you avoid relationships because I know what they're all about? I don't want to be involved in their gossip. I just can't do it. I can't do it. I don't want to do it anymore. Who has Superman? Nobody has Superman? Okay. Who has Iron Man? Sticker. Nobody got Iron Man? So that means everybody got Thor. Ah, getting to that. Did anyone pick? Wait now, who's this guy again? Hulk. Anybody pick the Hulk? No? Okay, that's good. All right, who has the feet? Okay, who has the hand? Okay, so let's take the feet first. What do our feet do for us? Okay. Do our feet also take us some places we don't need to be? Into some areas we don't need to go? Okay. It is our brains, but our brains can't walk. So our feet take us there. And they take us into situations we don't need to be in sometimes. Who has the hands? Okay. What do you use your hands for? Help others. What else? Exactly. Do you use them to lift? Do you use them to carry? Yes. Thinking back, looking at your many activities, things that you're doing, are your hands full? You got too much on your plate? All of it's not gravy running over the side. Sometimes it's those peas and carrots that you don't want to eat. For the squash. Let's look at those things. And if we're looking at those things, on the other side, if you still have your pen, I want you to write God, Christ, Jesus, whichever one you're most comfortable with. And the relationship is, if I've got too much on my plate, if I'm doing too much, let me go talk to God about it. And see what God wants me to do before I do anything else. Let me pray. Let me think. And if you've done all you can do, and that other person is just still demanding that I need to be in charge. I make the money. I'm the head of the house. You're supposed to do what I say. You're not supposed to ask me any questions. You're not supposed to have an opinion. Let's look and let's talk about what God says we need to do about that. So if you've done all you can do and it's not helping the us, let's continue to work on you. Old habits. Biblical submission is a big one in families, especially in religious communities. You must do what I say. I'm the head of the house. God put me in charge. I'm the man. And I'm going to pick on men because God put y'all in charge. Okay. But he also, in giving you dominion over everything, he also gave you a helper. That's why he got married. That's why he got the girlfriends. That's why he got the boyfriends. Because he gave you a helper. And together you became one. So in doing what God wants you to do, does it mean that you don't recognize each other's opinion? You don't recognize each other's thoughts. When you argue, it's okay to argue. My grandmother used to say, teeth and tongue will fall out, but they get back together when you're eating. So it's okay to argue. It's okay to have a different opinion. But separate and think about what the other person is saying. Honestly, think about the reasons they're saying what they're saying. And if you don't know, that's a good time to go sit and ask them, what do I think? Biblical submission does not mean agreeing with everything your spouse or partner says and giving up your thoughts. God gave you a brain for a reason. He gave it to you for a reason, to thought, to reason, to share. It doesn't mean that women have to be patient, long-suffering, self-sacrificing. Men, you have to do that too, because now we're one and we're getting together. Lastly, it does not mean living in intimidation. If I say this, what's going to happen? If I do this, what's going to happen? No. Point each other to Christ. Let them see Christ in you. And it will work wonders. That I do know. That I can promise you. Finally, as you learn these things and you learn about you, you want to keep it in your heart. Because sometimes what you learn is not safe. If that other person is determined to have their way, you're not safe. Because it could mean I'm going to do what I want to do to the point of killing you. And then I do have the ultimate, the final control. So in order to love someone, anybody at any time, during and through anything, get to know you. What makes you you? There's only one person on the face of this earth like you, and that's you. Get to know yourself. Spend time with you. You don't have to go to the grocery store together all the time. You don't have to go get gas all the time together. It's okay. They're coming back. Trust that other person. Trust yourself enough to trust the other person because they're making their choices. This is about you. Accept you for who you are. You have unique fingerprints. You're unique. Love yourself. Get to know yourself. So what I want you to do is let today become the day that you begin working on you to work on your relationship.